This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hey guys, it's Maria and Zach here.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about TypeEd today, which is a boutique typography school located in Los Angeles. And I've had the privilege of taking a few of their classes, and if it weren't for the skills and education I received at TypeEd, I wouldn't be the designer I am today. They offer both workshops that focuses on calligraphy, lettering, typesetting, etc., and also classes that focuses on the kind of the intricacies and details of typography. And I know, Maria, you recently took a TypeEd class yourself.
Yeah, I just took Type 2 recently, and my mind was blown by how much amazing information they had to offer. The cool thing is, it doesn't matter where you're at in your career, you could always use a little more type knowledge. And if you can't make it in person, or if you live really far away, they have online classes for you too. In fact, if you want to take a TypeEd class, just visit our website, creativehoney.org/type-ed, and you can get 25% off of Type 1.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal, and Type 1 is definitely the first class to take. It builds a really strong foundation for any aspiring designer and typographer.
Agreed. So, yeah, guys, go ahead and check it out. The link again is creativehoney.org/type-ed. Follow the link for your 25% off. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Creative Honey. Today, we're going to be interviewing a really cool guest. His name is Jane Curran, and he is a design entrepreneur with specialization expertise in digital publishing and brand communication. He's the founder and CEO at MagFirst, which is a publication design agency, and he's also the founder of Anamis, which is a branding agency based out of Bangalore and New York. This guy's art directed over 70 plus international publications and over 30 plus brand identities in the span of 5 to 6 years. So he's a real powerhouse and has such a cool perspective on the importance of branding and identity. And we go into a really pretty in-depth discussion with him about, you know, the importance of it, what you can do if you're a business or even like a startup, and how you can optimize your branding, put your best identity forward, what to do if you're a designer that's really into branding and identity, or if you're a brand strategist, and like what you can do to help your clients have an awesome brand, and the way you should think when you're in the process of branding. Really amazing information. We're super excited to just dive right into this. So we hope you guys enjoy it. Let's get started. So welcome to the show, Jane. How's it going?
Great, Maria. Great to be here.
We're very happy to have you. And we've been wanting to bring on someone who has more specialty in branding and branding design and all that. It's obviously really hot right now. You know, a lot of people are looking to get into it, and we're excited to pick your brain and ask you all kinds of questions.
yeah, definitely. I think a lot of designers are, you know, looking to evolve and progress outside of maybe just pure production design. And I think for them, branding might be a kind of an outlet, you know, for them to maybe take a step up in their career. So on that note, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started with your career, and how did you end up where you've ended up today?
Sure. I completely agree with you guys that, you know, branding is really hot now, because branding has become, it means the most important ingredient for a successful business today. And things have changed a lot since the time I started off. So I have been in the industry for the past 10 years, although, basically, I've been in the industry since I was 20 years old. I started off my first company when I was 20 years old back in the college. So I'll give you a brief overview. So I'm from India and I belong to a very small city called Munger. Since my childhood, I've always been interested in solving problems with the resources which were available at my hand. I belong to a place where there were not many resources wherein I could use them to create solutions to the problem I faced during those days, whether it be the education, whether it be related to the social problems or problems faced by businesses. So when I was growing up during that period also, I had a knack towards understanding businesses and how better we can make it through branding and especially, with the resources at hand, how we can better design it. Although I was very young, but since I had a person in my family who is from the branding background, who's a legend in the industry, in Indian industry. So since childhood, I had an overview, a knack, and a mentorship to understand what brand communication is. So when I got into college, I got into engineering college, mechanical engineering, and soon I realized that, the education system is too obsolete. Being from a science background, I was someone who, wanted to ask a lot of questions, but the education didn't allow me to. And so soon I understood that, I have to find my way out. And very soon I started working on softwares, learning skills, softwares related to design, like Photoshop, InDesign, Illustrator. So I started working on my skills along with doing my engineering from first year itself and started to build my portfolio. I thought that aesthetics was all about design. When I was doing these softwares, then I started only focusing on typography and design, and that's about it. But after my college days, instead of joining a mechanical engineering company or a company who hire engineers, I joined ad agency, and I got to learn so many things from there that aesthetics and is just one part of design. What is important is communication. What is important is how do you talk to these people, talk to your customers. So after joining that, it was an eye opener, and within 3 months I learned so much which I couldn't. In 3 months I learned so much which I could not learn in over 3-4 years.
Wow.
So, after that, I just left that company and thought that, I have to start my own, branding agency. So I was searching for a lot of companies who were doing great branding stuff here in India and in New York and other Western countries. And I got to know that there is a reason, there is a really lack of companies who are not doing brand naming. So I started off with a company called Enamis in 2010, which was about brand naming. So we did brand naming, linguistic research, and along with that, their branding, their logo, and the website design and stuff related, everything related to that. What happened was during that period, when I started the company, we did brand naming and the linguistic research for many of these startups and companies, because it was extremely crucial, because finding a .com or having a, completely unique name was a big problem for a lot of companies. So I tried to solve that problem through my first startup. And it went well, but again, after doing their first brand naming and their branding, it was a really short project. We wanted to connect with long-term projects where we could build the brand along with us and build our portfolio meanwhile. So I personally uploaded many of my works on Behance, and one of the clients from Australia got in touch with us and told that, will you be interested in doing a magazine for us? I was like, okay, we haven't done a publication design before or a magazine before, and we don't have prior experience, but definitely we could bring our own typographical skills and design to the publication and let's give it a try. So we started doing digital magazines, and one of the magazines we did went on to become a leading magazine on Apple. And that was one of a kind design because it didn't follow any rules, any rules of publication design. Each and every page looked like a piece of communication, a piece of beautifully designed page, and not at something which is very template based in the publication industry generally. So that really went well, and we went on to work for 30 odd digital magazines with 300 plus issues, featuring people like Richard Branson, Arianna Huffington, Damon John, Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk. So all of these people, so most all the greatest influencers and people, we went on to feature all of them. And we started a company called MagFirst, which basically caters to individual publishers, content creators, and brands to leverage their brand through digital magazines or digital publishing platforms. So our main focus is to provide a turnkey solution to these people, wherein we take care of the design, development, as well as the marketing strategy aspect of launching a digital magazine. So this is what we have been doing for the past couple of years.
Awesome. Wow, that's such a cool story. And it always intrigues us to hear stories from people who actually pivoted to a different, I guess, career after they graduated with a different degree. And it makes sense that you have a degree in mechanical engineering because of that intense desire to problem solve. Do you feel like that has really given you a boost or really helped you having a career working with brands?
I moreover think it was the education system which really forced me to get into this industry or any industry wherein I could solve problems. Because the education I believe today is not about experiential learning. It's just textbooks and stuff like that, although it is changing now, but while the time I was growing, it was very textbook, and you know, it really didn't work in the real market. And that is something which was you know, which I felt was a need of the hour. And during my college days, I also started something called Disembrains, although it's a very funny name, but the idea was to help all the young people who want to make their own path in life, who want to take a different path, which is not suggested by most of the people around you who would ask to become a doctor or an engineer. So I wanted to start something called Disembrains, through which they could upload their portfolio, whether it be related to design, music, art, anything. They can just upload it, and then people who are interested to fund them, people who are interested to be part of their story, can be part of that and help them out. So I think it was a need of the hour. I think it is a, you know, education made me do what I'm doing today. Education helped me in getting into something wherein I could solve problems for people like me who faced problems with education as well as doing something which they wanted to do.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I think it's important that obviously education does play a role within your background and with a lot of people's backgrounds, but it also seems to me that you have this entrepreneurial spirit that's kind of more and more common within all types of creatives today. You kind of spoke about how, you know, like solving problems is probably one of the reasons you have that entrepreneurial drive, but is there like anything else that really pushes you and inspires you to kind of be an entrepreneur and to start businesses like this and try to help people?
Yes. So the most important part of all of this would be, I think, typography. I have been so inspired by beautiful types and their forms and the way they are. That means I feel that they are my friend. I have personally, since my college days, I have personally, when I started getting to know more about fonts and how they are made and, you know, how they are part of daily lives, like wherever we see, there are fonts, there's types, there's language, everything is type. So I think it is a very integral part of my personal life, and I have been so inspired by typefaces, that is something which I love doing. So I thought, why not get into something wherein I could do that on a daily basis as well as solve problems. So first business, whether it be the branding and the naming company, as well as the second, which I'm working on currently, which is MagFirst. Daily, on a daily basis, we work with a lot of types and a lot of, we get so much freedom to play around with it that I really love what I do.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of, especially younger designers, maybe overlook typography, and the relationship it has with layout and any kind of publication. So I'm glad you're kind of bringing up the kind of importance of typography. So on that note, could you kind of walk us through a little bit how you maybe approached designing certain issues, and maybe, how do you approach laying out the typography or building the typography for issues and for publications? Like, how do you approach a project?
Sure. So right now, for the past couple of years, what we have been doing is we have been creating digital issues of magazines and also the print issues. So our main challenge was that when you create a digital magazine, then the size of the magazine on a mobile phone and on a small device is really small. And in order for people to make a decision whether they want to read the magazine or not, they have to see a thumbnail. So our main concern was to use typefaces on covers of magazines especially, which are extremely legible. So whenever we start on a project, we call it the war of thumbnails, because there are a lot of thumbnails on iTunes, and you make a choice on which magazine do you want to read. So we call it the war of thumbnails. So our main concern is that how to make a font legible in spite, by not making it really big, or by not always making it really big, or by not always playing too much with the contrast. So that is a main challenge we face, and that is what we try to address with most of our covers, wherein it looks like a cover, really good cover on a print magazine also, but also it works really well on the digital newsstand. So whenever we start on a project, we divide it into what is it that we're trying to achieve, what is the personality of the person we are featuring on the cover. For example, we are working on a cover wherein we'll be featuring Elon Musk in the next issue. So if we have someone like Elon Musk, we want something, the type to be like Elon Musk, someone who is so dynamic, someone who is so powerful, someone who is, completely out of the, who does things completely out of the box. So we need to do something like that. But at the same time, we need not want the typeface to be, everywhere. We would just want it to speak what Elon Musk does and do justice to the title of the magazine. So the first thing which we focus on is the communication aspect whenever we design anything, as in who are reading the magazine, who is it targeted to, and how should we say it. So basically it's like who are we, whom we are talking to, and how should we say it. So this is the basic policy which we follow when we design anything. So it is a branding thing, but we implement it with all the designs we do, a single page to a cover. And when we do that, it becomes easier for us to choose a font, choose a color, choose an imagery, because there are so many fonts these days. But what is important is to come down to a couple of fonts which would work for that particular issue. And with couple, I mean, 3 to 4 fonts. So, and once that happens, once we are very clear as in what we are trying to achieve here, what our target audience is and what is it that they would love to see. For example, if we are talking to CEOs of big companies through our magazine, then probably we would use something beautiful, sans serif, a serif like Gotham or, Avenir. But if we are talking to, fashion forward or tech, fashion people, we would use something like D-Dot or, things like that. But but we don't stick to these. But we don't stick to these. Sometimes we just play around and try to do something new where we have scope to do that. And we have been very fortunate that most of our clients have given that creative freedom to us to do what we think would be right for the magazine. Because I believe that design is not about you. It's about, your audience. It's about the people who will perceive the design, who will understand the design. So how legible, how easily readable, how the story is built around your typography and design, I think that is extremely important there.
It was so great to hear you explain this process. Both me and Zach were like emphatically nodding as you were hitting on all these awesome points. We of course love what you said about the typography or learning, getting a, like using type to like paint a picture and kind of channel the essence of whoever the subject is for the, you know, for that issue. And just having a digital publication like Mag First, it's very innovative and is taking a spin off of something that has been tried and true and people love magazines. But now since things are changing, a lot of magazines are going the digital route, and it's really cool to see how you've combined, all these really important design sensibilities and just understanding of human beings really, and putting it together in something that can really paint a picture, through these digital publications. And also something we really liked, you said, it's not about you. It's about like your audience or, you know, what message are you trying to get out there? And, Zach and I often run into,
I think to jump in here, I think both designers and stakeholders often forget that, we're not designing for either of us. We're designing for a user or someone that's interacting with the brand or, et cetera, you know, so I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of designers and clients need to hear that for sure.
Totally. And we actually end up talking about this like a few times a month, usually like, oh, you know, I wish they understood this. what are some challenges you come across in the branding process? And also what advice or things to look out for can you tell to people who are looking to get into this kind of field?
I completely agree with you guys and, on the branding point of it. And I feel that, that is something which is really lacking in even in the clients today. And that is the biggest challenge where we try to tell them that, you know, it's not about, for example, if you make a logo for someone, it's a completely text-based logo. And they feel, you know, you have to have some icon here. You have to have some element here. And I'm like, no, it's not required because your target audience doesn't need it. And you are a brand which is global in nature, so you really don't need to have an icon or an imagery attached to it. So the perception towards branding is still very old school. And that is something which I feel that, especially the young people who are getting into branding need to understand that it is never, never, never about you. It is always about your, end users, your clients who are actually going to buy your product or use your product or whatever it is, or whatever the objective is. But it is always about the end users. So my advice to not only the branding people, but also the entrepreneurs of this age is that give a lot of importance to branding because it has become more important than ever. Because today for any company, there are a lot of choices. You're going to buy a TV. There are so many TVs out there, but how do you decide on which TV you need to buy? It's the branding, it's the logo, because all the TVs have the same feature, televisions have the same features. So how would you decide? Similarly for anything, there are so many choices. So it's the branding which will differentiate as in which choice you make. People say, people say they don't understand font. I meet a lot of people who are not from branding industry or design industry. They don't understand font. But if I give them choices to select from a couple of options of the same product from different companies, they will choose the one which is beautifully branded, which looks premium or which caters to their voice. So So it is extremely important to understand that. So my advice to all the young branding people who are getting into industry is that try and find projects where you could align with them for a long period of time and just focus on how in the long term create stuff which is timeless in nature, which helps them growing across various verticals. Because today, most of the companies are, if it's a technology company, it's still launching clothing line or, you know, a lot of funny things are happening. For example, recently I heard that, you know, there is a company called Cat. They have launched a smartphone. So it's a mechanical engineering company who makes cranes and, you know, big tractors and stuff. So they have got into smartphones. So it is our biggest challenge as branding people today that how can we make something which caters to the vision of the company and not what product they build. So I would ask them to focus on the why. I would ask them to focus on the vision. As Simon Sinek really, you know, says that it's always about the why. It's always about the why. So the golden circle, you guys will be knowing about it, right? So,
oh, yes.
Yes. So I completely believe in it. I have believed in it for so many years. And when the video came out, I was like, wow, it is exactly the same thing, which I believe in. And probably that is the way to go. And that is what I would want to tell all the young entrepreneurs, that always focus on the why. And while doing the branding project for any of your clients, think, what if they got into any other product range, but with a similar branding? What would happen then? So if you are aligned to the vision of the company, then it won't be a problem at all. They can get into whatever they want to do. But if you just focus on the product, the brand, it won't work out. The product, it won't really work out really well. So focus on the why and think of what is the vision of the company rather than what product it deals in.
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, I believe Start With Why should be required reading for entrepreneurs and creatives.
We're
definitely on the same page there. And on that note, you're talking about how, you know, important and vital, like knowing and understanding the vision of a company and its why. So that kind of leads me to my next question. So when you're working where you have worked on branding projects, what role has strategy and creative work that's not maybe aesthetic design, what role does that play in your process? Like, what kind of strategy or like pre-design work do you do with clients or with projects?
Whenever you work with projects, if there's a need, most of the clients who come to us are from the technology space or from the growth or personal development space. So when they come to us, we always focus on, you know, a 6 months plan wherein, you know, a lot of different design collaterals and verticals which can be produced over the period of 6 months and how the results are achieved. I think 6 months is a bare minimum time to understand how the results are, you know, how you are getting the results of your work which you have done on the branding. So the problem is that these days there is so much information, there is so much information flow all around us that, you know, in order for your brand to make a mark, strategy also plays a very crucial role, which is part of branding. So whenever we design something for these clients, first thing we do is, as in, what are their goals in the next 6 months and what is it trying to achieve? And we don't start with a boom wherein we create a lot of collaterals and all the collaterals that puts through various medias, whether it be offline, online, social media, or any other platform. We don't do that. We start in a very subtle way wherein the brand is introduced to the market. The brand in the sense, the identity, the logos, and a very minimal content is posted in the market where we understand, as in, what is the perception of these people through various analytics platform. I also feel that analytics has become extremely crucial and an integral part of branding today, because without it, you won't be able to gauge how things are going. Actually, is it going in the right direction or not? Because every other day, things are changing, and the people, what works and what doesn't work, is really in a very gray space these days. Although there is a right way of doing things, and we should always do the right way, but you should always be open to trying completely something new, something which hasn't been tried. So for that, when you will do analytics, brand analytics, then you will get to know that, you know, how the very strange things you will find, you know, for things which you never thought would get a lot of attention or a lot of customer engagement, sometimes they get the most amount of engagement, and you will be surprised to see these things. So I think the young branding people would really understand it, because today the world is about making things viral and using the social media power to do it. So I think for people who have been in the industry, and even for the young people, I would suggest that keep analytics as a very part of your branding strategy, and don't push all your content in one go. Make step-by-step process, and feed content to people the way it goes. It's all about storytelling. How do you tell a story? It's all about connecting things and making a whole campaign. And for that, keep analytics as your special tool.
No, absolutely. I think for a lot of designers, I think they understand the storytelling part of the branding process. But I think for a lot of younger designers, especially the A word or analytics might like scare them, because they think, oh, it's numbers, I don't know, what does that mean? Too technical. So, you know, for some of the listeners that might feel that way, can you maybe give us an example of, you know, how analytics would play a role in telling that story for a brand?
Sure, we'll do that. So there is nothing to be scared by the word analytics. Even I am not from a technology background. So it means even I was very fearful of the word analytics. But analytics is just about understanding how your customer behaves in branding, how your customer behaves to a certain kind of design or collateral which you push in the market. This way you are able to make better decisions. That's about it. Branding. Mm-hmm. Branding is all about making choices, as in whether this design would work or this would work. So out of that, how do you decide? As in how does it become easier for you to choose which works better or which worked better? So analytics helps you do that. So analytics is very simple. It is about numbers, but you don't have to be worried about it, because it is just a decision-making tool. For example, you push a content on social media. You're planning to do a Instagram-based advertisement or Facebook-based advertisement or Google AdWords-based advertisement of your product or brand, which generally all the brands do today if they are in the online space or in a product space or a retail space. So once that happens, so through all of these platforms, there are these, this is the very basic of analytics which I'm talking about so that people understand. So you can go to the Facebook's analytics section, so the developer section for businesses. There you could see how many people have actually seen what post of yours, how many people have engaged with a certain design of yours along with the content. Content is also a very important part of it. So once that happens, you get to know which is getting more attraction in terms of, as a branding guy, as a creative guy, you could focus on what is working visually. Because when you scroll through a page on a social media or on your web browser or any page, the design collateral should work really well visually, that it attracts you, and it shouldn't feel that, you know, you are hard selling your product. It should feel that, you know, it's very subtle there, and you could get to know that through analytics. You can judge based on your idea about how things are, but you know, you won't get to know how customers actually are thinking about it, because there are so many generations living at the same time today that it is very difficult to take all of them into one picture and see how things are, because the way I think might not be the way a 18-year-old teenager would be thinking today. So I might find some font interesting, but for him, other font, a completely different font which I might hate, would be very interesting for them. And if for that product the target audience is the 18-year-old teenager, then I need to start thinking like an 18-year-old teenager, start living like an 18-year-old teenager. So that is one thing which I do with a lot of my branding projects, wherein we cater to a lot of, most of our clients are US. We have a setup in New York also. So although we have taken care of clients from US, Australia, UK, Europe, and South Asian countries. So means I haven't traveled to all of these places, but how do I get to know, as in what is it that is required there? So what I try to do is I read about them, I get to know more about them, I try and interact with them, whether personally or through various other media, and try and think like them, as in what is that they eat, what is that they, how do they party like, what are their, perceptions toward things, and how, means just a basic idea. Once that happens, I try and become like them during the period I'm working on the branding. So what happens is making choices for me becomes easier, as in what typefaces would work for them, because a design which works in Switzerland or Germany, which is very Swiss-based design, might not work in America, and Australia has a completely different design sense. So, if you have an idea about how people are there, you are able to make better decisions. So similarly, analytics makes things simpler for you. And there are a lot of platforms online which helps you in letting know about how analytics is playing a role, and the data which you get from there, you can help in making decisions with it.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you the way you describe approaching a branding project is like describing a method actor who's just taken on a new role, just like someone who's like immersing themselves and like becoming that character, and because it's more convincing. And I think that's such a great way to explain it. Analytics has provided so much value today for businesses. Do you think that, are you seeing that many are receptive to analytics? Are there still who don't completely trust, that technology?
No, I think, whether you trust it or not, it is a need of the hour, because all the companies, most of the big companies are using analytics, and even the small companies will have to integrate analytics in whatever they do, because things are so unpredictable today, and branding as a whole is a very expensive process. It's not process wherein it can be done in a cheap way, or you shouldn't really spend a small amount of money on branding. In fact, you should put a decent amount of whatever you're investing in your company or brand into branding. So
totally.
Branding is such a huge play, so you cannot take chances. And if just by integrating analytics, you're getting really good insights about how is it working and what needs to be done in the right way in the future, then why not company would want to integrate it to their systems? I think that will save them a lot of cost, that will save them a lot of time, as well as they will be able to create something which actually works for them. So. Yeah. I think analytics is extremely, extremely important. So see, I'm talking like this because right now with my company, I stand at the intersection of design and technology. So how we can integrate, use technology to empower design, that is what we are trying to do. So with our digital publishing also, we are using magazine platforms, analytics to understand how people are engaging with pages, and through which pages we can ask them to share content or like content on various social media and stuff. So that is what we're trying to do with the branding works also, which we are doing, because all the people today need more email signups, need more people to follow their companies and the branding work which they do. So everything is integrated today. There is nothing like, you can just do design or just do branding. If you're doing that, it's good. But what will happen is that there will be a disconnect. There will be a disconnect in what you're trying to achieve through your branding and what results you actually get. And once that happens, the overall result of the stuff, overall the result of the branding project or the company's agenda in the future doesn't really work well. So as a branding guy, as a creative guy, even if you don't understand it completely, but you need to have a little bit of know-how, as in what it is and how it can really help you. That way you will be at par with the, trends of today, with the latest trends in branding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We obviously completely agree. I think, analytics provides a level of clarity and predictability that could really act as a foundation for all the decision making you're doing as a designer or a brand strategist. So we're definitely on board with that kind of merge of technology and data and design, and it's an exciting time to be a designer. And just to pivot a little bit, because we're getting a little close to time. One question we like to ask our guests every once in a while is, especially I think with someone with your kind of experience, what's going on out there in the design world or with design trends that you see maybe younger designers that are kind of bugging you today? Like, is it maybe something with typography or, magazine related or branding? Is there a trend or a pattern you're noticing that you kind of wish would kind of go away?
No, I think a lot of interesting work is going on. I mean, these days I rarely come across stuff which is, I think most of the things are beautifully designed, but when it comes to retail businesses or companies where branding is not taken into consideration, there probably I might see some of the bad plays of branding. But not in the branding or design aspect. I see a lot of bad advertisements these days, which I really feel should go away in terms of the creative process. Because there isn't a call to action to that, because they just show you something but it doesn't incite you to go and actually buy their product. Then what's the point of the advertisement? Because that is what you're trying to achieve. You're trying to increase your revenues through it. So that is something which I think should go away, that the creative should focus more on the end users, start focusing more on the end users, because otherwise someone else will take your market share, and that is not something which your clients would really love. And I think it's mostly advertising, but otherwise I feel a lot of dynamic and brilliant work is being done in the field of typography and creative, and recently I think it has become really better. I think people have started finding their voice in terms of design. And they are producing it, and I find it really great that a lot of young designers and entrepreneurs, designers and branding guys are creating products which they feel works for the end users, but with their own creative style. Previously, we used to see most of the clients using Helvetica or Avenir or fonts like this, but today people are playing around with a lot of fonts. And that's really good, because that way the markets become more dynamic. It becomes more competitive. And means I would just, like these young entrepreneurs, designers, and branding experts to, keep doing it and keep trying new things, because although there is a process to do a branding, but you really don't know what actually clicks and what might be really helpful for your clients.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy time for watching everything evolve so quickly, and with more competition always comes more innovation. I think it's interesting, like it becomes more obvious, I feel like, when something isn't thought about very well, like when you see that really awkward commercial or something or an ad and you're like, some guy in a boardroom thought of that. Like, what is the deal with that? it just kind of, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Whereas like maybe 10 years ago plus, like, everything was kind of like that. So there's some really innovative campaigns going on, like the mattress, purple. They do these really weird, campaigns, but like, they're like, they end up being viral because they're just, I don't know, they've just captured a weird magic of...
But I think that's kind of the problem. I think everyone's looking for like shock value.
True.
Or like,
and it's not done well often. Or something. Yeah. But like, that's how crazy it is like now, where someone can pull that off, because it's like in this new, very innovative, very daring part of our evolution, I guess, in branding. And so, yeah, like it seems like people are getting trying more innovative things, and if it's done with a lot of thought, and like you said, like being able to really understand that target audience and end user, then then it's very, you know, very possibly might actually be successful.
Right.
One quick question before we wrap up. I'm kind of curious, is there any advice you can give to startups with branding? Because a lot of times startups don't want to put a lot of money into branding because everything's so tight. But is there any advice you can give to startups that are looking to, you know, get some good branding on a budget?
I would say that startups, first of all, if you have a budget, then please, 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 for God's sake, spend on design, spend on branding, please. Because in the near, you know, in the past, I have seen so many beautiful products, whether it be a product design, industrial design product, or a engineering product, or anything. I feel they have beautiful product, but the problem is their branding. They have stupid names, bad domain names, means really bad websites, and means even if I want to buy that product, I go to the website, I'm like, I can't buy this product because they are using the worst kind of typeface ever to or the name. So I feel that, you know, for all the startups from any vertical, I would suggest them, guys, do what you are good at and please outsource what you are not good at. Please give your work, please hire an agency, please outsource the work which you don't understand. Branding is extremely important. Just the way your product is, you know, if it's a you know, home appliance, focus on branding also. Hire an agency to do that and a good agency to do that. If you don't have that kind of budget, but please, please, please don't compromise on identity. Please don't compromise on the, you know, the identity which is created, because that is something which is about you. If you are a startup, you know, if your company has a funny name or a name which doesn't really talk about who you are and what you are trying to do and what is your vision, then what is the point then? You know, you're not reaching your audience. You're missing out on a huge market. So whatever you do, whatever marketing or branding you do, whatever marketing or promotions you do, how much money you spend on advertising or hoardings, whatever it is, until and unless your identity, your branding, your logo, your website is in place, your branding, your marketing efforts, your promotion efforts won't bring you those kind of results. At the end of the day, you will lose a lot of money. I've seen so many clients who initially thought, you know, they could get a logo done from a 99design.com or like that. And after 6 months, 1 year, when their business starts growing, they are like, we need to change the branding. And now they have to change everything across the board. You know, the whole, there's a huge investment to that. So why do that? And that is not the case with one or two of them. That is the case with more than 90% of them. It's just a fluke that, you know, some stupid name works and some stupid branding works. But I really, really want people to understand that, you know, branding is about you, about your company, about your persona. You don't want a great product with a lousy personality to go out there in the market and, you know, sell the products. It's not going to happen. You have to have a strong persona. With persona, I'm talking about your brand, your company, your product. It has to have a strong branding, strong typography in place in the beginning. So even if you don't spend too much on marketing and promotions, I think that would, the branding itself will take care of that. And needless to say that there are so many brands these days which are just a branding play and are multi-million dollar enterprises. Just a branding play. Anybody could have made that product, but branding made it really huge. And the examples are endless. You can go on Instagram and you could see most of these companies are just branding play, just visuals, and just the way they work. So please, 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 all of the startups, focus on branding. Give a good amount of time, give a good amount of money and good amount of focus towards branding, and make sure your branding in the beginning is close to perfect. Yeah, so that is something which I would want to say to all my
No, absolutely. And of course, we definitely completely agree.
Yeah.
It's like, I always use the analogy. It's like, why would you, you know, go to the party in an ugly suit or an ugly dress? And that's basically right. what you'd be doing with, you know, a poor visual identity and brand. So, you know, I think you're definitely preaching to the choir with this podcast, obviously. But I think, yeah, even the younger designers could definitely resonate with what you're saying there. So we completely agree. So yeah, as we close up here, I was, you know, if you can you let us know and let our listeners know where they can find you online, social media, you know, internet, or obviously the internet, but you know, website, you know, can you let us know where we could find you and follow you?
Sure. So you can find me on, I have my personal website is jaincurran.com. And the other website, my company's website is macfirst.com. I'm available on Facebook on jaincurran and also on Twitter. So these are basically the handles. We also have a branding company called enamis.com. So that is also where you can find me.
Awesome. I'm like so excited about everything you said. It's really like gold, you know, in our industry, and really words to live by. I'm really excited to get this out here because I feel like it's important for clients and designers and brand strategists all to hear this. And, absolutely. You know, like everybody who has a brand or is working on a brand or whatever, it needs to know all this. And this is great information. It's been such a pleasure having you on our show.
Same here. Great to you know, talk to you guys today.
Oh, it's been awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we'll have to have you on again sometime in the future for sure. It's been a pleasure talking to you. So
sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, you know, thanks again, and we'll send out those links in the show notes, and we'll catch you again pretty soon. And again, thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Sure, Maya and Zach. It was great being here, and I live and breathe design. And I would just say to you and all my people who are listening to it, because most of them are designers. So, guys, let's just make this world a better place with better design and help create everything, you know, with better design. Live design. So.
Amen. That was great.
Absolutely.
We couldn't agree more. Yep. Well, thank you so much again, and we hope you have a good day.
Yeah. Yeah, you too. Okay.
Bye, Jane.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
A big thank you to Jane Curran for taking the time to be on our show and to give us so much awesome information about branding and identity and strategy. We're just really thrilled to put this information out there. We know that a lot of people are taking a big interest in branding and identity. And as designers, you know, a lot of them want to actually get into this field and help businesses realize their full potential and to put their best foot out into the world. We really think that there's some powerful information in here for you guys. And we really learned a lot and enjoyed just kind of diving into all the details about it. We really hope that you guys have been enjoying our podcast. We are always trying to put new content on. We don't always post as much as we'd like. We do have full-time gigs, so sometimes not always easy to get things up the way we'd like, but nonetheless, it's always on our mind, and we're always strategizing for the next awesome person to bring on or next cool piece of information we can discuss. And we're always open to suggestions, and we just love hearing feedback. So if you guys are really taking a liking to this podcast and enjoying our content, please feel free to go to our iTunes and subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you'd like. And if you'd like to leave a comment about what you think, that's awesome too. We just always want to improve and get better and deliver the best content we can. We do have a lot of fun ideas that we've had for a while that we've been trying to find the right time to launch, but we do want to keep expanding Creative Honey and create more media for you guys, more ways for you to learn besides just the podcast and the blog. So stay tuned as we continue to grow. Thank you for helping us fulfill this vision. We really appreciate all of your support. If you'd like to learn more or spread the word, our social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. On Instagram, we, as kind of our hub, we really kind of post the latest blog posts and episodes on there. And then we also, it'll, you know, end up on our Facebook page and Twitter as well. But it's probably one of the easiest ways to find us. It's just at Creative Honey, and feel free to direct message us if you have any questions, or if you know someone, or if you yourself are interested in being on our show. We'd really like to get into helping spread the word about other amazing creatives out there. And we really do want to add a nice promotion aspect to this to help all of the people out there who are doing some cool stuff in the world get more attention and more traffic to their work and what they're doing. So if you know of anybody who you think should we can promote, we can write, do a little blog post about, feature in social media, just let us know. We're always happy to help, and overall we want to create a really awesome, fun, loving community of people who can support each other and just enjoy the creative journey and give each other advice and just be there. So definitely help us to keep creating this community and keep growing it. If you have any questions, you can also email us at hello@creativehoney.org. That's also where we take any inquiries about potential interviewees and things like that. So definitely hit us up there for anything you need. And we're going to be back at you with, we have some great interviews coming up that we have scheduled, and we're really excited about those. So stay tuned, and we are going to be hopefully back pretty soon. So we hope you all have a wonderful and inspiring week. Thanks for listening.